Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit.
You are listening to this right now because you feel education can be more than what it is. In these bonus episodes of The Peg Doesn't Fit, we highlight a tweet from an outside-the-box educator.
My name is Eric Steven.
And I am Ryan Bartle.
We are glad you joined us. Let's check out this week's Tweet of the Week. Kids who are described as hard to handle may actually be resisting the tendency of adults to treat them as things to be handled.
That comes from Alfie Cohn. That's at A-L-F-I-E-K-O-H-N. Alfie Cohn. He's got some good words here. I think we can take this in a couple different ways. What's your perspective on it?
Well, it's actually one of the more favorite tweets that I've read in quite some time. What it kind of reinforces some of the stuff that I've been talking about throughout our podcast is that oftentimes teachers, and just not just teachers, sometimes when I say teachers, I feel like maybe our listeners are hearing me say that this is the way teachers think and not the way administrators think. So I need to start using the word adults. But I think adults in education sometimes see kids as just these pieces in, you know, to go back to Robert Zeitlin's analogy of a chessboard, we see these pieces that we just kind of want to move around and play the game and get these pieces to move where we want them to move. And what we forget sometimes is that they're actually not pieces at all. What they are is little tiny people that have emotions and feelings and things on their mind. And sometimes, you know, it's like trying to pull one of those chess pieces up that's like a magnet, you know what I'm saying? And it's like stuck to the board and we want to pull it. The harder we pull it, so we can get it to move, but we can't because this magnet keeps pulling it down. And what that is that's just student personality resisting our willingness to move them. And sometimes we get mad because they don't move where we want them to move. But the bottom line is they're people. They're not pieces to be handled.
I think that whole handling thing. So this describes a perfect situation of the mindset of the teacher when they do view that as hard to handle, view the student as hard to handle. I think that really, he brought up a good point where I think those of us, you know, we go back and forth. Sometimes teachers have this discussion, you know, some teachers will be like, oh my gosh, I can't stand that kid or whatever. And then another teacher says, I don't have a problem with them. And I think that kind of helps me reflect too, when I have a student who I put into the bucket of they're hard to work with or whatever, it's interesting just to think about those students as compared to, let's say, somebody in your class, Mr. Steven, that you have a problem with, but I don't. And so you could describe both of them, I guess, as a quote unquote problem child. But I think a good piece for us as teachers to think about is look at the teacher, look at the kids who are seen as difficult in another class. Why? And that you don't. How can you apply that perspective on that child that you have to one that you have trouble with? So why do you view this one problem child as not bad at all and another one as really tough to handle? And so I think that he gets at that, like, it's all about your mindset and how can you shift that mindset to some of these other difficult children and maybe make them, you know, less tough to handle. That was kind of a ramble, but I'm really thinking about that whole mindset thing.
Well, and I think it's bigger than, you know, we're focusing on behavior, but it's bigger than that. Just if you take the whole educational experience, just in terms of cramming information down their brain, you know, it's like we have to keep moving, move. We got to get to the next standard. And sometimes they're just not ready because they haven't learned the other standard, prerequisite standard or whatnot. So sometimes I think that we just get so focused on our jobs of teaching, because that's what we are. We get paid to teach. We get so focused on teaching that we forget that in order for us to effectively teach, somebody needs to be sitting there and receiving it. So how can we present the information in a way that all these different personalities in the class want to receive it? Because oftentimes that's where behavior stems from, is the kids not receiving the information the way that you want them to, and they're not motivated. So they start doing something else that is more motivating. Sure. So really, I think the key is to relationships. So even back to your scenario, if you've got that kid that you don't have a problem with, but you've got another kid that you do have a problem with, maybe we can step back and reflect, okay, what's the difference in my relationship with the kid I don't have a problem with the kid I do have a problem with? Do I like the kid that I don't have a problem with a little bit better, so I talk to him in a different tone? Do I have a different level of patience with that kid? Does that other kid that I do struggle with, does he just hit my limit to where now I don't even acknowledge him? I don't listen to him. And I call him a him, it could be a her. How do I treat that student differently that causes that behavior?
Yeah. I actually had this exact situation yesterday. As we know, masks are a challenge for us around the world, well, around the US at least, for as mask mandates are lifted or whatever. And our school is transitioning. We're still staying with masks right now, but some teachers care more than others. And I think regardless of the issue, it was clear to me, I was walking my kids to a different space and another teacher had a problem with how some kids were wearing their masks. She had addressed it, but I could tell based on the student discussion with me after that interaction that this teacher seemed to want to handle these kids. And even as this teacher talked to me, there's a clear in the way in which this teacher talked to me about these students, there was a desire to handle them. She said to me almost in those words, like, you know, this, they just need to be handled in this way regarding how they dealt with their masks. And I have a feeling that even last year before COVID hit, that these children were ones that this teacher desired to handle, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm sure. And we've all had those kids to take us to that level. Sometimes we just have to walk away, but
I'm guilty of the same, but it gave me that like immediate perspective on, wait a minute, I don't address these kids in that same way.
Right. Well, anyway, I think we've beaten this
dead horse.
We have beaten this dead horse. This is a perfect tweet, though. I want all of our listeners to make sure they come back in a few days when we release our main episode of the week, because we're going to be meeting with Lee Rush. And what we're going to be talking about is restorative practice. And we're hopeful that through that conversation with Lee, we start to understand that restorative practice isn't necessarily a classroom management plan, a discipline fix, but it's a different way of communicating. It's a different kind of school culture. So it's
about relationships.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Looking forward to you guys having a chance to hear it. Thanks for tuning in to our thoughts. Thank you to Mr. Alfie Cohn for challenging us and making us think. And we will see you next time.
As you move through the week, if you ever see a profound tweet on Twitter, or you yourself have something outside the box that you're doing in your class and you want to be featured on our show, go ahead and hit that tweet up or retweet that tweet and tag it to the tagline, "The Peg Doesn't Fit." And when we see that tweet, we will include you or your quoted tweet in our show. Until next time, have a great week.